Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on this Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. And, you know, the roads certainly are better today. The snowstorm came on Monday night. We really didn't get much yesterday, and the roads are certainly in a lot better shape today. Now, we've got a big show today because it's just you and me on the toll-free line this morning, which will be a lot of fun because I've got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. I've been trying for the last two mornings to get in everything I've wanted to talk about, and I have not been succeeding with this any morning. So hopefully this morning I'll be able to get in everything I want to talk about, and we'll talk together here on the toll-free line, which is always open at the station, 740-383-9944. Now, one thing I do want to mention before we get rolling here, well, actually, two things, because we love to do this each and every year here at the station. We've done it since the beginning. It's our big Christmas card exchange. Here's what happens. If you send us a Christmas card, we will display it in the studio, and if you return or give us a return address, we will send you a Christmas card back, if time permits. So hopefully, if you get the Christmas card to us prior to Christmas, we can get you a Christmas card back. Now, our address here at the station is WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, and of course, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Again, that's WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. If you send us a Christmas card and provide the return address, we will send one back to you, and we will hang your Christmas card here in the WWGH studio. So that's a lot of fun each and every year. Now, we might continue this morning to talk about Christmas candy and cookies. Now, I believe this started last year. We got into a big discussion about this. What kind of Christmas candy do you make? What kind of Christmas cookies do you make? We've talked about mincemeat pie here the last few days. And it hasn't created a big response, but I'm thinking maybe some of that has to do with the weather. I know a lot of kids were out of school yesterday and home, and we are on this hybrid schedule now. And I'm hearing back from a lot of listeners that they would like to call in, but they've got the kids at home, and they're doing Zooms and these sorts of things. So I understand that, but we love to hear from you when you do call in. So as I say, phone lines are always open, 740-383-9944. It's going to be an interesting morning because the things I want to talk about, some of them I have talked about before, but some of them I haven't, and one really came to the forefront yesterday, and I was going to mention it, I think it was Monday, and then it got bigger yesterday, so I'm going to get into this today, but I do want to give a reminder that the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, which has always aired on this station on Tuesday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., this week is moving to Friday, 11:10 a.m. until 12 noon, and will be there Friday until we sign off. So the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will now air on Friday mornings from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. and replay Sunday mornings from 8:10 until 9 a.m. and Wednesdays from 3:10 until 4 p.m. So it'll be good to have Pastor Whitaker back in here on Friday mornings. Now, that's something we wanted to say. Also want to let you know I will be on with Glenn Coble today from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Glenn will be on today with A Progressive Life from 12:10 until 1 p.m. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman today from 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon will be on today from 6:10 until 7 p.m. So don't miss any of those programs right here on WWGH Radio. So, I'm going to start with a few things, and then we'll move on to the serious topic. Now, I got a call just about a minute before I went on the air this morning. And it's kind of interesting, and maybe we'll open up a subject here. Because if you've listened to the news report that's on this morning, I'm talking about two officers who were honored. Now, I say Milan. M-I-L-A-N. Now, that's how I'm pronouncing it in the news report. But we had a gentleman call in right before I went on the air, said he grew up in that area, and it's pronounced Milan, not Milan. It's Milan. So, as you're listening to the news report today, because I can't get at it directly, you can say that guy does not know what he's talking about, referring to me, because I'm calling it Milan, but it is actually pronounced Milan for people who live up in that area or who have traveled Ohio. Now, here's why this is an interesting subject to me. Because, to be honest with you, I've never heard anybody talk about Milan. I don't know if there's anything in that area that is a destination point in Ohio. Usually that's where you hear people talk about places like that. But for people who move to Ohio, because there used to be an exodus of people who would come from Indiana and Michigan and West Virginia and some from Pennsylvania, who would come here and they would get jobs in radio or at the newspaper, or they would just live in the community. They would get jobs at plants and so on and so forth. And it's funny because they had a lot of problems with our pronunciations as well. Like Bucyrus was always the big one. They would call it Bucky Russ. Now, we've lived here so long, we just look at that and say Bucyrus. But they would call it Bucky Russ. I remember there was one person I knew for the longest time who called Lebanon Lebanon. Now, can you believe that? Lebanon Lebanon. I remember that. And they had lived here a long time. They had lived here about 15 years. Now, that one was, I thought, really was a hard one to screw up. But it did happen. And if you live in Indiana, I'll never forget when I was first breaking into broadcasting, probably the late 90s, early 2000s. I was going to Indiana to interview somebody at a book signing, and it was C-A-R-M-E-L. Now, I think because for so many years we've heard about Carmel, California, I thought, well, this is Carmel, Indiana. Not so. I remember asking somebody, I had to stop at a gas station to ask where the hotel was, where the person I was going to interview was at, and I said, where in Carmel is this hotel? And the person looked at me like I was nuts, because to them, this was Carmel, Indiana. So if you're ever in Indiana, don't make that mistake. It's not Carmel, it's Carmel, spelled exactly the same way. Now, this is strange to me. Now, this shows you how the mind works. Because Carmel, California, and Carmel, Indiana, are both spelled exactly the same way. Now, if you ever saw C-A-R-M-E-L on a piece of paper, you would say, well, that's Carmel. Carmel apples, Carmel candy, Carmel corn. You would never call it Carmel. But when we talk about destinations on a map, we tend to call it Carmel. And I think that's all from Carmel, California. But really, it's Carmel. Well, at least in Indiana, it's Carmel. Now, here's another thing, just off the top of my head thinking about this, when I'm talking about Carmel, Indiana. Caramel. Okay. Now, some people say Carmel, and some people say caramel. Now, is there a difference between Carmel and caramel? And are they spelled different? I'm not sure. Because I have heard people say there's caramel in that. But I think what they're saying is caramel. And there's no... It seems like there should be an extra A in the word caramel if it's going to be caramel. Does anybody know this out there? Is there a difference between caramel and caramel? And is the spelling difference different? I don't know what the difference between the two products would be. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is there a difference between caramel and caramel? And can you think of any of these name changes, differences, cities, states that have different pronunciations than you might think? And remember, this all started this morning because on the news report, I'm saying Milan, Ohio, but it's actually pronounced Milan, Ohio. And one of our listeners pointed that out this morning, and I do appreciate them for that. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good morning, Scott. Since I'm up, I thought I would call.
Well, go right ahead.
That reminds me a lot of the difference between toffee and taffy. I'm not sure what the difference is between those two either. Or is it either?
Toffee and taffy. Well, now, see, toffee, now, this is what I've heard with toffee and taffy. Now, when I think of taffy, I think of the sweet taffy. When I think of toffee, isn't that more of a, like a caramelish thing?
Caramel or caramel?
Well, that's now. What is the difference between caramel and?
I don't know. I don't eat sweets. I don't even like them, so I don't really know. Sometimes it depends how you spell something. It's a lot of it's a marketing. Like you would spell grand with an e sometimes, or
theater.
Some people say vase. Some people say vase.
Theater with an
honestly,
e.
I think the more exotic pronunciation or spelling is. Just makes it sound more expensive. Like, you spell grand with an E, you can, you know, this sounds like something Jerry Seinfeld would say, but, you know, I have a Seinfeld kind of humor anyway. So it's like, if you spell grand with an E, then I guess you could charge under $50 for rent or something, if it's an apartment or whatever. And you know, vase just sounds more European, I guess. I always say vase. My mother said vase. I'm not quite sure why.
Well, but you know,
and pronunciations, too. I mean, you know, you got a couple pronunciations that are interesting, but you know, either and either. I kind of use both because they're both correct. So sometimes it's a case where just change them around just to make things more interesting. And
the one that throws me where they do change the spelling, like you've said, is theater with an R and theater with an E. Now
well, it's R E is British. That one's easy. It's like leader or meter. R-E is the British, and because it's metric is used in some applications in this country. I personally like the metric system, but I mean, it's used in Canada, used in the UK. They spell it with an R-E. In theater, you can spell both ways, but I think theater, you kind of think of Shakespeare, and that's British, so in a classical sense, theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E, but you may spell it T-E-R. Maybe like if you're talking about Broadway and you want to differentiate between something that's American and something that was British.
Well, where I have noticed the theater, I don't think it's become, because obviously there is no difference in the pronunciation. Where I have noticed the spelling differences is a theater with an R at the end tends to be a movie theater, and a theater with the E at the end seems to be a live performance theater.
I would think, and it's pronunciation, not pronunciation, by the way.
There we go again.
Well, pronunciation is wrong, Scott. That's a question. It's spelled N-U-N-C. There's no O-U-N-C.
Now, do you say aunt or aunt?
I say aunt, but
that's wrong.
Okay. They're both okay. And
No. Aunt is not right, because why are you making the U silent? There's no grammatical rule where you would ever make...
English is not a phonetic... That's a good point. English is... I'm a language enthusiast. English is not a phonetic language. And I took German, which is almost completely phonetic. It's just difficult because they have three genders, and they have more declensions than we do, and plurals aren't as consistent as they are in English. But English is not phonetic. You know, like, for example, the I before E after, except after C. That doesn't always apply. and even something like pronunciation, that could be correct in some cases, because sometimes these extra sounds come out of nowhere. But that one is pronunciation. That one's pretty cut and dry.
Well, I don't know if it is cut and dry, because if that is cut and dry, you've got to say aunt is cut and dry, because why are you making the U silent?
There are many, and that's part of what makes English so fascinating. And you realize English is actually a very difficult language. And all languages have their quirks. Spanish, for example, people talk fast, and there are a lot of dialects. I mean, there's dialects with English, but not as much as Spanish. And that turns Spanish into a tricky language.
What now? Do you say
not quite as many dialects, but it has quirks like the three genders and the different ways of making plurals that just throws a whole curve into everything. It has a lot of long words that have a guttural pronunciation, but it's more phonetic, so at least you can kind of figure things out. English, it'll really throw people. My understanding, though, Scott, aunt and aunt are both okay. I like aunt, maybe because a little joke I used to tell about my family, which I probably won't go into. But you think of ants and other insects. So if you don't like a certain member of your family, you can kind of think, well, this person's like the other kind of an ant.
Well, ant. But see, Ant, if you would actually look at the word, I mean, what is the reason for making the U silent?
English has a lot of quirks in pronunciation, spelling, Scott, that don't make any sense at all.
Well, I believe, for example, the
name Scott, as you may know, because I'm a Scrabble player, and S-C-O-T means, I believe it means attack. So I'm not looking, I'm just kind of going by memory. So it kind of came as a, I think, from the olden days, Scott was a tax, and so someone decided Scott was a good name. And although it can be spelled with one T, normally it's spelled with two T's. Like some people spell cigarette with one T, with T instead of T-T-E.
Well,
that's an alternate spelling.
Well, so I tell you why.
Sometimes these spellings evolve, and so, like with Brian, why is Brian? Brian can be spelled B-R-Y-A-N-I-A-N or B-R-Y-O-N. Why is that spelled three different ways?
I think names are different because a name is given to somebody by a parent, so you can spell it however you would like, because a name is not universal. But an aunt, an aunt, pronunciation, these are universal words, but people change them.
Sometimes it's fake news, but I try to find good sources. It's showing aunt is first, aunt is second, but they're both acceptable. The insect is just more common. It's also regional, and aunt to me is acceptable, but I always say aunt. I guess aunt to me sounds kind of British, and it also depends. It depends upon your ancestry. I'm of Eastern European ancestry. Whereas many people in this area, they have Irish, British, Welsh, and so they might say aunt because that is closer to their ancestry, especially if they have an aunt or an aunt who may have lived in Western Europe.
Yeah, but I'll tell you where this gets.
That also affects it too, because of my ancestry, I think of aunt.
I'll tell you how you can check the aunt one to know that aunt is correct, because we also have a word in English and people will use it. A matter of fact, it's been used in Broadway titles. We use the word auntie, and it was an auntie Mame years ago on Broadway. You would never say your auntie; you would say your auntie.
I've heard both. It's regional. It's regional. What the connotation is, and to me, thing with the theater, I just think of Shakespeare, and that was kind of British. So we have sometimes things that had roots elsewhere take on an American identity. A lot of food is like that. A lot of what people call Chinese food is really American, just influenced by the Far East.
Yeah, but
it is tricky though.
I'll tell you the one that I don't like, and again, there is a complete explanation for it, is when people say. Do you say progress or progress?
Oh, progress. Progress is British. Now, it's okay sometimes. Sometimes I might say it just kind of to joke around, but it's what some people in Canada also, and process or process also, that's something also that you hear.
Right, but see,
another DJ word is records. Records, and that one's interesting because so many musicians are British, and sometimes they try to talk American, sometimes they don't. But I'm sure if you were to talk to Elton John, he would say record because he sounds very British. But a lot of British musicians, they've lost, you know, like Rick Springfield, Australian, but he sounds as American as you or I. He probably says record. He was an actor on a soap opera here. He's more Americanized than I would say right. Elton John, who probably says record.
Right, but see,
that's also kind of an interesting study.
Right, but progress and progress really have nothing to do with being British or anything else. It's just we have changed it over the years.
No, there are British pronunciations.
Hold on a second. You got to let me finish here. The reason for progress and progress, it's a root word. The root word is pro, P-R-O, and it means to go forward, which is what progress means and what progress means.
But with English not being phonetic and being, it's a hodgepodge of Germanic languages, other European languages, and some native languages all kind of sprinkled in. These pronunciations, the quirks from dialect and usage, they get mixed around a bit, and they do evolve, and you might find at a different time. I would agree, 100 years ago, more people probably said aunt, but also the reason would be that we were close to the Revolution, where we were part of England. America has so much of its own identity, especially in the last few years. I think we've moved even away from Canada, which has, of course, a British influence, and we have our own identity, and aunt is very American. Many things that are in that mix. I think I told you before, where I went to college in northern New York, we had several towns that were spelled the same as European towns, but pronounced differently. Madrid instead of Madrid was one of them. And that happens a lot. You see that in these colorful small towns, Scott. Milan, Milan is a good example. I think it brings a town into the spotlight, because Milan is suddenly more interesting now that it's spelled the same as the Italian city, but it's got its own pronunciation.
But I do think when it comes to the naming of a city or a town or a county or whatever anybody wants to say, however the person named it, said it, is probably what it is. That's not so much phonetic. That's just what the person named it.
How about our little adventure in LaRue? And we actually asked townspeople and the mayor, is it LaRue or LaRue? Tim Kennedy, I mean, and you know how attention to detail he was, like a stickler on every single letter, which is great. He told me it was LaRue.
Well, and, see, I'll tell you.
Now we decided that it's LaRue. I'm not 99% sure, but it's like, if that's what the mayor says, that's what the townspeople said, then I guess that's what it is.
Well, but the reason, I mean, there is a reason behind LaRue. It's because it was named after a family, and it was the LaRue family. And we still there are still some LaRues left, so how it got to LaRue, I'm not really sure, because there is no Y in that word. So it's the reasoning for some of this does make sense. Like LaRue, now Milan and Milan, you know, that would be spelled about the same way, but LaRue and LaRue, now those would be spelled different. LaRue would be LaYrue, but it's not
right. But again, English isn't phonetic, and the I before E except after C, that has a lot of asterisks after it. And all the homophones. I mean, you have rain, R-E-I-N, R-E-I-G-N, R-A-I-N, and sometimes A-I is pronounced I, which like I, which is more of an Asian type of pronunciation. That's just the way that English is. It has so many interesting twists and turns, and I don't know where the LaRue came from. I think maybe just like with Milan, that people just wanted to be different, even if it was named after a particular person. I mean, I know with where I went to school was near Quebec, and a lot of French people of French ancestry. LaRue is pretty common. In fact, the news director at one of the radio stations up there was Bob LaRue. He would never pronounce it LaRue, but that's because he was of French ancestry. But RUE was probably changed from REAUX or something that was more French. My last name was Lepkowski, which is a fairly common Eastern European name, and one of my great grandpa shortened it. And that's pretty common, too. A lot of people's last names were different generations ago. They just made them easier.
Which is why I think when we look at pronunciation, aunt, progress, process, progress, process. I think it's really probably in the end just what you want to say, and people do know what you mean. Now,
there are some incorrect or correct. I mean, I can assure you, Scott, pronunciation is not correct.
Now, and I can assure you that ant is not correct.
Okay, well, we can agree.
We can agree. Well, but you know, I'm just, if somebody can give me an explanation on why you would make the U silent.
I did, Scott. English is not phonetic. But
if English is not phonetic, wouldn't we say pronunciation?
No. This isn't a perfect explanation. It's about a 95% explanation. There's no OU or OW or any sound that could be taken as an OU. It's NUNC in pronunciation. Even though it comes from pronounce, that O just disappears because English is a little odd, but it's delightfully odd. And the U could be silent. So, although this is only like a 95%.
But where is the U silent? Who said that?
ANT. Take out the U.
But that's just because you say it that way. That doesn't mean it to be true.
Right, and aunt is to me a more British type pronunciation, but it's another way to say it in the United States. We're not adding with pronunciation. You're adding a letter. You're changing that U to like an OU or even AU, which could be pronounced as OU. That's how things are pronounced in German. AU is OU.
Well, I think I'm taking it from the root word.
It's not a perfect. Because I can actually think of a town in northern New York where they actually add a letter. Ogdensburg. Cancel that. They actually take away a letter. Ogdensburg is pronounced Ogdensburg. They take away the D. So
hey, there you go.
Interestingly, that actually makes my point more correct. They make the D silent, which is unusual because a D is not usually silent in that way. Usually, it's before a T.
But why pronunciation? We don't say we pronounce words.
Right, you're right, but that's why I'm saying it comes from pronounce, but that ow turns into an because the OU turns into a U. Now, this is, again, 95% accurate because there's so many asterisks next to these explanations, but in the case of ant, that, or like Ogdensburg, the D or the U are silent. Those are uncommon letters to be silent in that way, but it can certainly happen. And then in the case of pronunciation, that ow becomes an uh. And to me, I consider myself an expert on language.
How do we know that ow becomes an uh? Who did that?
Because I consider myself an expert, a scholar on language. And like other things, I consider myself well-versed in. You may agree or disagree, you know. If everybody agrees,
well,
the world will be off the boring.
That's the whole point with language.
My aunt, Aunt Sue, she pronounced vacuum, which I always thought was amusing because sometimes I make my own pronunciations too, just for amusement. And I don't know, because she was like me, a wise girl. So I'm not sure if she said vacuum just because she thought it was kind of funny, or she felt it was more logical.
Well,
but at least I could understand why, because there are two U's, and so you could just pronounce them in different ways. But bottom line is, we lose a letter or more, Scott, in these pronunciations. We rarely add a letter. I'm not sure I can think of any words where we add a letter. And U just isn't, I don't know any cases where U is pronounced ow, even though pronunciation comes from pronounce.
Some people have given it an explanation because some people do spell it pronunciation, and they say that is the noun way
to
pronounce.
That's wrong. And you know, I am speaking.
Well, see,
as,
I don't,
as a,
you know, because donut. Take donut for example. Now,
right,
some
the longer spelling, it's like spelling grand, grande. It sounds fancier. Again, it comes from dough. It's like a nut, almost like a nut shape or whatever that the logic was. And to me, that seems a little more European.
But how would catalog, you spell donut?
Catalog, L-O-G-U-E is also, it just seems a little fancier, but it's like, go ahead and just make the word shorter. I normally spell it D-O-N-U-T, but D-O-U-G-H is also acceptable. I normally spell catalog, L-O-G, but L-O-G-U-E is okay, too. It just seems a little fancier.
Well, isn't the reason for D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T, isn't that because it's made of dough? I mean, wouldn't that make more sense?
It's been shortened, just like names. It's like my last name was shortened. Most people's last names were something else, even if it's just a quick change in spelling.
Yeah, but I think donut, D-O-N-U-T, I think that's like a tire donut.
Well, either one. Yeah, that's a good point in that if it's not a eating donut, then more than likely you would spell it the shorter way, but an eating donut is spelled either way. And spellings can evolve, and I think people sometimes are just lazy. They take off letters, like, you know, why do you need the extra UE in catalog? Just spell it CATALOG.
But see, this
but again,
is the problem.
This is a case of losing letters in pronunciation. Pronunciation, you're adding a sound or a letter, and that's extremely rare or non-existent whatsoever. That's the difference. You know, like tongue, for example, that's how is that phonetic? T-O-N-G-U-E?
Right, all I'm saying is
UE are silent, and the O is pronounced like an uh.
I think where scholars would have an argument with pronunciation and pronunciation is because we pronounce words. So somebody's going to make an argument for why do we say we pronounce words.
No. When you change the form of a word, letters can be changed. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes it does follow. Occurrence, that one, you know, you take occur and you add R-E-N-C-E. With again a silent e, even though the e in ence is short, normally a silent e makes a vowel long. In this case, it's still the f, and so that e at the end is really pretty useless. But you don't usually end an English word with c that way, and that was probably the logic. So that's just more footnotes in how our language is structured, but. I will disagree with you fully on the pronunciation.
Well, that's
Scott.
Okay, but it's interesting that the word we're disagreeing on is the word of how we deal with all these other words. Because
another word you and I have talked about too. I forget which one it is. It'll come to me, I'm sure, after we hang up because it's so early. It's another word that you pronounce something and it'll come to me in a second. I'm sure I'll think of it the minute we hang up. But English is really fascinating. And have you taken other languages, Scott? Did you take Spanish or German or any language in school?
Yes.
What did you take?
Spanish.
Okay. So one of the first things you learned, right, was genders. Despite all the controversy now over human genders, I mean, there's the irony. It's genders have become so broad ranging. I mean, you could write a PhD thesis on it. But nouns have genders. In German, a chair is masculine, and a Mädchen, the word for a girl, is actually neuter, which doesn't make a lot of sense. And in Spanish, it's the same thing. You have la or el, and it doesn't always. Why is a chair one gender? Why is a car a different one? But that didn't make a lot of sense at all. And German has three genders, and Spanish, like English, you form both plurals by adding an s. But in German, there's many ways to form a plural. Really, there's really no hard and fast guideline for it. Spanish is more phonetic. It's not perfectly phonetic, but it's pretty close. And but there's so many dialects, and the Spanish you learn in school may not be the Spanish that the person at the restaurant speaks, or a person speaks if you're traveling. But nothing else. I think languages are important because they really stimulate the brain, and you just learn about the differences in the way people communicate. And if you learn, it's like a musical instrument. You learn one language, it's easier to learn other ones. Maybe you read this, Scott, about Alex Trebek. He spoke 17 languages.
Right.
I think Pete Buttigieg and Melania Trump spoke like half a dozen. Alex Trebek spoke 17. I guess that's why he would pronounce all the words in Jeopardy. Right. I'd like to. I wish Alex Trebek were alive. We could have him on the show and ask him. I wonder what he would think about this.
Well, I think people have their own particular hang-ups on words. Because it's for them very important.
Oh, I know the word effort. Electoral. It's not. You say electoral, and it's electoral. Again, you're adding a letter. You're adding that e sound, and it's electoral. We've talked about that one before.
And mayoral. Yeah.
Well, mayoral is right, not mayoral, but it's not eel. It's old.
But see, with this one, I go back to aunt and aunt because most people don't say mayoral. They say mayoral, and so I think. Well,
if they do, they're wrong.
Well, see, but I say the same thing with aunt. I say you can say aunt.
It's different, Scott. You're changing the pronunciation. You're not adding. You're not. you're not blatantly adding a letter. Mayorial is blatantly adding a letter.
But I think taking out a letter is the same thing. Because
mayorial,
is there any word in the English language beside aunt that where we make the U silent?
Mayorial is correct. Mayorial is a synonym to mayoral. To mayor. I always say mayoral, but mayorial is
Well, see, then why wouldn't electorial and
Right, and I'm just looking this up. Electorial is not correct, which is really weird. They are similar words, yes. They're similar types of words. Maybe that's why, because I always hear you say electorial, and I always giggle a little bit. And so even Ron and I have talked about that and giggled a couple times. So, but it's okay.
Well, but does he say ant? Then I got to laugh there.
That's okay.
Because
well,
an ant's an insect.
My family's pretty funny, and my Aunt Sue, may she rest in peace, she would giggle along with us because she and my Uncle Matt, who was on the Gong Show, as you probably know, they've contributed to my own sense of humor, my own way of laughing at everything, including yourself, and they would be giggling along with us. Yeah, that is interesting. I honestly, Scott, before this time, I didn't even realize that. I knew electorial was wrong, but mayorial and mayoral are both correct, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But English is so quirky, a lot of English doesn't make a lot of sense. So that just shows the point. But at least in mayorial, that is a word. See, electorial is not a word, and electoral isn't pronounced electorial. And the same thing with pronunciation. That's just not a word. It's pronunciation.
Well, I guess
with mayoral and mayoral, those are different words with different pronunciations.
Right, which I get different. But they both mean the same thing.
Correct. Well, there are many. How many words are there that mean big? How many words are there that mean hate? English has a lot of words. You notice that in Spanish, there aren't as many words. In Spanish, it's more the dialects and people talking fast that'll throw you. In English, although we have dialects, and you know, I know I talk fast, but we have so many synonyms. I probably could think of 10 words that mean large, even grand, which means large, and you could spell it two different ways. So think how that would throw someone who's learning English. I mean, you know, a Spanish or French speaker is learning English, and they realize the word for having an above-average size is big or large, and you or I say huge or enormous or giant, and that person doesn't know what that means.
Right, which is what I'm saying.
That's what people about this language, because we have so many words.
Right, but who is the arbiter of what is correct and what is not correct?
You know, I think in the past it's been the publishers of the dictionaries, and although we have those, now everything is pretty much online, and as you know, many people just think they've got a PhD in anything that they have an interest in. I don't claim that. I do claim to be a language authority, a lot of it just for my own interest in it, because I've always been fascinated by it. I don't claim to be the biggest expert in it, but I think I'm up there in expertise. I think it's part of being in broadcasting. You need to know language.
But I think the problem is the language has changed so much that we change it on our own.
It does evolve, and I think the point, like I think aunt was more common 100 years ago because we were closer to the revolution time, and it had that European influence, also spelling catalog with the UE. And that just, to me, that seems a little more European. America, we get our own identity. Every minute we are further away from when we were not an independent country. And Americans by nature are independent. That's kind of why we separated in 1776 to begin with. We have our identity. And our independence and our free thinking is what makes the country great.
But you know what? Certain people have speech impediments. Like, I know there are certain words that people can't say, and
yeah,
I hear those.
Everybody has trouble saying it R. I mean, they're Barbara Walters too. I think she made a bit of a career out of it because that's the way that she said it, and it was distinctive to her. And so some letters are tricky, and we have these diphthongs in English where like A is a diphthong. It's like E. But you learned when you took Spanish, and just like with German, A is not a diphthong. It's all one sound.
Well, because I let it go. I mean, if somebody says ant, that's fine. If somebody says progress, that's fine. Because what I figure has happened over the years is people in different areas have just changed the meaning of these words. Many people in the South change the meaning of many words. They make them their own. That doesn't mean that's the pronunciation, but
I'd say I'm fixing to. You never hear that here. And people say y'all here, which another thing about our language, we only have one form of you. In German, they have a plural you, and I think Spanish does also. And so there's a you, one person, you, several people. We don't have that here. Some people just say you all or y'all just to make it clear that it's more than one person.
But like if a bomb were dropped, the big bomb, now how would you say that?
Not the atomic bomb?
Not atomic.
Just the hydrogen or which bomb?
NUC. How would you say that?
Oh, nuclear. And that's a good point. Even very intelligent people like President Bush
said nuclear.
And my mother and I would hear that on TV because I got a lot of it from her. She was a language stickler and, you know, may she rest in peace. My dad also, both of them. Nuclear is wrong. It is nuclear. I mean, you can change it a little bit like nuclear or nuclear. It depends how you pronounce that E-A-R. But nuclear is wrong. And just because President Bush said it doesn't mean that it's right. You know, jokes aside about Donald Trump and sometimes his lack of mastery of English, he's not the first president to have that problem. And nuclear is like electoral; it is never right.
Well, but you know what?
Even if the president of the United States says it, and that's part of Donald Trump's charm, I think, is that the way he uses English. Sometimes it's kind of funny, sometimes it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, but I think what it comes down to, now, again, people can go hard and fast and say this is right and this is wrong, but if somebody says it and the other person knows what you're saying and they understand and there's no doubt on what you are trying to say, I think it's hard because there are so many words that are mispronounced for what the word was created to be.
Things evolve, yeah, just like with names and spellings of pronunciations of names. A lot of Spanish names, for example, Jimenez is often pronounced Jimenez, and sometimes it depends upon how the person wants to pronounce it. Do they want to Americanize it? Do they want it to sound like a more Western European derived name, like Jimenez, or do they want to use a Spanish Jimenez? Do they put the accent mark? And a lot of Spanish names have an accent mark, and sometimes that's taken out. Or the spelling has just changed to sound more American, and that's interesting too. It is fascinating, and it's a great thing to talk about.
But you know what?
There is no hard and fast explanation.
But what I have found though a lot of times is people who I'm always hesitant to make fun of people who are mispronouncing things that I think they're mispronouncing, because I think the problem is that there is not anybody, and I would have to go really deep to figure that, and a lot of people do it just because of speech impediments, and they do it quite often. Like obituaries are a big one, you know, like
you don't know how many times, Scott, I have looked up the pronunciation of a town or a cemetery.
I'm just talking about family names.
I've guessed, and just secretly, as I say it, I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But sometimes people in the same family even change their pronunciation. And also, if it's because there are a lot of people of German ancestry here, and me having taken German, and Tim Kennedy got into this once another little story because like myself, he was so big on pronunciation and proper English, which was cool but aggravating at sometimes. A more exotic sounding German name, I will often just use a more traditional German pronunciation. And some names, I'm fascinated by them, but how I pronounce them, I have to go ahead and guess. I remember Mike Wilson, our mutual radio guru, a popular pastor in his area, Stephen Bloomfield. I used to pronounce his name Stephan because it was spelled the older way, T-H-E-P-H-A-N, which is sometimes pronounced Stephan. That's how I pronounced it. But Mike said he knows him. He went to school with him, and it's Stephen. And I joke, well, I'll just call him Steve because that's a lot easier.
Now, see, that's a perfect example.
That's an example of a humorous take to it, because I think the pastor would be giggling along with us.
Right, I think that's a perfect example, because phonetically and spelling-wise, you would think Stephan, but he says no, because the name
because it is an older spelling, because Stephen can be spelled with a P-H, but then it's E-N, not A-N. And my understanding is if it's P-H-A-N, you pronounce it Stephan. And the more old-fashioned way. But Mike was assured me he went to school with them because, you know, he knows everybody in Morrill County. So he's an authority. And he's being on, you know, he likes language and puns like I do. So we definitely concur on a lot of things. He said it's Stephen, and I promised I will never say Stephen again. But I'm sure the pastor, you know, if you're listening, Pastor, I'm sure you would giggle along with us because it is kind of amusing how it all came about.
Well, we are coming up on a break, and you can't mispronounce that one.
Nope. We have news and other important things. And good talking to you, Scott. Have a great day. Maybe I'll call next hour.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Adam Lepp, and here comes the break.
Aldo Road, telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor that works for you. Go to hbp.org.